So we're on Perek Yutes, chapter 19. Now, if you recall, last week, one of the main points that the Baltani was Aymedan was, what is the nature of this love? Where does it come from? And he also posed the question that if every mitzvah, in order to ascend heavenward, requires both love and awe, so how is it that in this love there's somehow contained awe or fear as well? And although he doesn't explicitly say so, he's going to address several of these components in this perek. Now, last week, I came upon the Pele Yoyetz, which I encourage everybody to see inside, where he addressed the three reasons for why each one of those stages don't work. And there's an awesome piece of Pele Yoyetz, I just don't think we're going to get to it tonight, regarding Perek Yud Tes as well, so it'll probably be next week. All right, so let's go further into this. In order to understand this better, this concept, we need to explain very well. The pasuk says, "Ner Hashem nishmas Adam." The pasuk equates the neshama of a Jew, as he says, "Pirish she Yisrael akriyim Adam." We're not referring here to human beings in general. We're dafka referring to Klal Yisrael, that the Gemara says, "Atim kriyim Adam v'loy akum." So even though there's some kind of level of nefesh that exists even in other human beings, here in this case we are specifically referring to the neshama of a Jew, and that somehow the neshama of a Jew, as we're going to discuss, is compared to a ner Hashem. A ner in this context refers to not a candle, but a lantern. It's going to refer specifically to the wick and the flame that burns on it. So he explains as follows. Nishmasam, that the neshama of a Jew, who lemashal ka'or haner, that we are, what David HaMelech is trying to tell us here, in this comparison between the neshama of the Jew and the ner, is that the neshama of a Jew is like the or haner. Shemisnanea tomid lemaila b'tivoy. You'll notice that word b'tivoy several times here in this chapter. That the nature of a flame, no matter what, is that it is always struggling to escape the wick. Now, what's interesting is that the Chazal tell us a very similar concept about the other elements as well. You find mayim is yored memakim gevoya lemakim namach. Water always attempts to travel to the lowest place. Yet, if you have water sitting in a kli, you never see the water urging, moving around in the kli, yearning to get to the Atlantic Ocean. It sits very comfortably and quietly in the kli. Yet, then you'll notice that even though he's going to explain that the basis of the yearning of the flame is to rejoin the source of fire, lemaila, and whether that's a physical fire or a spiritual fire is really not relevant, but everything has the nature that it wants to return to its teva. And yet, the other elements don't yearn, they don't do anything to get back to that as fire yearns to escape the wick. What's the vart? Mipnei, and this is straight from the Arizal, Mipnei she'ara'esh, because the light of fire, chafeids b'teva, again, nature, naturally speaking, the fire's nature is that it wants to liparit, it wants to separate mehapsila from the wick, v'lidovek b'shar shelamayla, to reconnect to its source above, b'yisoy da'esh ha'klali, in the element of general fire, shetachas gagal ha'yireach, k'meshiksiv be'etzchayim, as is written in Etzchayim from the Arizal writes that somehow beneath the yireach, beneath the moon, there is a level of fire, and every flame, the reason flames jump around, is that they yearn to escape the wick and to rejoin that fire above. Now, there's another element of nature, which is a fundamental element of all natural things, and that is the desire to exist. So now, the Baltani is going to present a contrast in natures. On one hand, fire wants to have its own independent existence. Like every some animals, people, everybody will kill to survive. And yet, we're going to find this astounding nature of fire, that it's willing to depart from the flame, which in essence is going to mean it's ceasing to exist. So you have a contrast between two major natural forces, which is why there is this struggle going on. There's the struggle in every flame to stay on the wick, and yet to escape the wick. Even though by escaping the wick and the fire would be somehow included in the larger fire above, it will become extinguished. It won't be able to illuminate here in this world at all. What's more, even if it were to reconnect above, it's not like above, as it reconnects, somehow it's going to be able to maintain its independent properties and illuminate above. Its entire essence, its light, will totally be nullified in its source. So even though this flame will virtually cease to exist, again, nature has it that the fire, the flame, the nature of the element of fire is complete and total selflessness. It is willing to give up on the basic element that everything else in nature has, which is self-preservation, and the fire just wants out. Kach, so too are we to understand, we're now six lines on page 48, Perek Yutes, Kach nishmas ha'adam, so too is this true of the neshama of the Jew. Not only is it just true of the level of neshama, but it is also true of bechinas ruach v'nefesh, even the lower levels of neshama. Chefetza v'cheshka b'tiva, its natural desire and yearning is always liparid v'lotzeis min haguf. It desperately wants to escape the body, v'lidavek b'sharsho, and to cleave to its Shairish, to its root, Umikaira, and its source. What is that source? It is by Hashem. It wants to reconnect with the Rebbeinu Shalom, Chaya, Chayim Baruch Hu, the source of all life. This Yisoid, by the way, is a Yisoid which is not Nischadish here in Tanya. The Alshach HaKadosh has some very, very powerful pieces about the observations of the Neshama, how the neshama senses the Rebbeinu Shloim in all of nature, and despite that, nature continues to exist, and the neshama is consoled by looking around at nature. There's some magnificent pieces, but here, of course, he puts it into terms that are very, very exciting. So here you have the neshama wanting to exist, wanting to escape its existence, even though it will completely and totally cease to exist as it reconnects with the source, and that is akin to the flame. And he explains further, Hagam, even though if the neshama were to depart the body, shetia ayin ve'efes, it will be nothingness, v'tizbatel sham b'metzias legamri, and it will cease to exist there totally, v'la yishoa m'mena me'uma, and nothing will be left of it, m'mehusa v'yatzmus, of its nature, of its essence, of its character, harishayin. Afalpike, nonetheless, zeh ritzoyna v'cheftza b'tiva, this is its desire and its nature. V'teva zeh, the fact that I'm using the term teva, hu shem hamushal v'chol davar, he says, the reason I keep on using this language called teva, even though it seems to be a strange term to use for something spiritual, how do you have the nature of the spiritual? He says, I'm using it as a borrowed term. What's its meaning? It's used l'chol davar she'ena b'pchinas tam v'das. It's used to describe any quality that cannot be explained with reason. Therefore, v'gam kan hakavona, so too I'm applying that very same reason here. She'rotzen v'chefet zeh b'nefesh, this fact that the neshama wants to escape the body, to be re-included in its source above, there is no logic or reason to it. It's going to completely cease to exist, and everything wants to exist. It is supernatural. It is over logic. And the reason for this is, the source of it is from the source of Chachma, Sheba Ein Sof Baruch Hu, that we learned in the last perek, that this quality called Chachma is the only of the intellectual capacities that's able to contain in it the infinite energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now he lays down a premise, a critical premise and a very practical premise. V'zeh klal b'chol sitte t'gedusha. He says, I want to give you a rule with regard to everything that is relevant, that's related to holiness. She'enoi elamash nimshach mechachma. It is only those things that are drawn from this quality called chachma. She'nikra kodesh ha'elyon. It is referred to in Sifri Kodesh as the highest kedusha. And the reason it is synonymous with the side of kedusha is because it is batal b'mitzias b'arin zayv baruchu hamalavish bay, because it is always completely and totally nullified to the energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's in it. Ve'in edava b'fnei atzmai kenal, and it is not something independent. Now, what he just did was drop the biggest bombshell in the sefer so far, and that is to say as follows. First of all, he defined love in every aspect of it, but even more so, he defined Kedusha. There's a very simple reason like this. Rabbi Elkan makes gives the following explanation here, which is I thought was astounding. He says like this: any person who's in their greatest health does not feel any one of their limbs. A person who's in great health wakes up in the morning and does not sense pain, tightness. They just don't feel any of the limbs. They're completely carefree, right? Conversely, a person who's ill, his head hurts, his arm hurts, his legs hurt, he's got muscle pain, he's got back pain, he's got headaches, whatever it might be. A person who is bottled to the Ribbono Shel Olam, a person who's in good health, does not sense self. He's completely batal umavutal to the Ein Sof, the Ein Sof Hamalavish Bay, the Ein Adava Bifnei Atzmai, and he's not independent. The moment a person has feelings of self-awareness on any level, to that degree are they not batal to the godliness that's within them. And it's mamish, is synonymous to the person who is who's ill versus the person who's healthy. Now, having said that, he's going to define the true definition of love as a person who doesn't need to escape their body. The neshama doesn't need to leave, because even as they exist with their neshama in their body, they understand that that's the Ratzon Hashem. That's how Rimatal explains this. And due to the fact that it's the Ratzon Hashem that he wants them to be in this body, to create the Dira B'Tachtonim, so as a result, the Ahava, the love to the godliness that's within the person, allows them to live peacefully in their body. Okay? But the Bittul, the nullification to the godliness within them, reigns supreme. That is their definition. If you ask a person who's in good spiritual health who they are, their answer is going to be, I'm a chelik of the kamimal. That's who I am. That's their self-definition. Let's see it inside. U'lechein nikr koyach ma. That's why chachma is called this power of ma. V'u hepech mamish. It is always the total opposite. Mibchinas haklipa v'sitra achra, from the dark side, the other side, shimimena nafshis umas ha'olam. As we said in the earlier prakim, this is the opposite of the souls of the nations of the world. Da'avdin legamayu. Their interests are completely selfish. Ve'amrinin hav. This is one statement, is avidin legamayu. Another zayir is that they're constantly saying, give me, give me. A third one is, v'haliteini, that was the lashon that Esav used to Yaakov Avinu. Stop me. Lies yesh, but here is the bottom line. It's the opposite of kedusha. Kedusha is bittul. The sitra achre is yesh. It is something. It is zich vidava bifnei atzmei kenal. It's independence. Hepech pchinas hachachma. It's always the exact opposite of Chachma. Ulchein Nikraim Mesim, for this reason we find that even when they are alive, they are referred to as Mesim. Ki Chachma Techaya, because the Pasuk says Chachma gives life. Uksiv Yamusu, when do they die? V'lei b'chachma, when it's not with wisdom. When it's not with chachma. Now, this is all theoretical, now let's put it into real life terms. Continues the Balatanya, v'chein harishoyim apeshi Yisrael, so too the wicked and those who are negligent among Klal Yisrael. Koydim shabo lidei nisoyim. Before they come to a situation of a major trial, which would be Likadesh Hashem, to sanctify Hashem's name. Kibchinas HaChachma Shevenefesh HaLekis, because this Chachma, which is in the godly soul, as we described earlier, Imnitzutz Elikus. Now it's there, right? Every Jew who has an Neshama has within them this spark of godliness. So what's going on here? How do you have it and not have it at the same time? And the reason is because this Chachma that's in their godly soul, Me'arin Seif Baruch Hu, which is, stems from the infinite energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaMaluvish Ba, Heim Bibchinas Golus Bigufam, it is in exile in their body, B'nefesh HaBahamis, because, as we discussed earlier, there are two kings that could rule this body. One of them is the Neshama, the godly soul, and the other is the Nefesh HaBahamis. As a result, when the Nefesh HaBahamis, who has its own independent desires, is ruling the city, from the other side, in the left chamber of the heart, it rules, and it dominates. In their bodies. So, beside Galus Hashchina Canal, as we described earlier, this is the ultimate of Galus Hashchina, because the Shchina, which is the presence of the Neshama, is in exile within the person themselves. So, he's not denying the Neshama. Fakir, the Neshama is alive and well. The only thing is, it's in Golus HaShchina. The Neshama is exiled through the ruler, the dominion of the Nefesh HaBahami. Now, Ulchein Nikras Ahavazu B'Nefesh HaLekis, for this reason, I keep on referring to this love that naturally exists in the godly soul. Define the love. Define love. Shiritzoina V'Cheftza L'Davek B'Hashem Chai HaChayim Baruch Hu. The definition of love is the willingness to cleave to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the source of life, even though it will be totally self negating. And that application of love applies to any definition of love. Love which is self-serving is not love. What he's defining here, love, is any form of love has to be the love of a person who's willing to negate self in order to love. So now, I keep on referring this to this as Ahava Misoteris, as hidden love. Why is it hidden? Because it is concealed and covered in what he calls here sackcloth. Now, sackcloth is like walking around with a potato sack. Other clothing, which is custom tailored to the person. So that's real clothing. That's clothing that's designed for the person. This is a sackcloth. It's a big potato sack that's put on top of the person, and it conceals the true image of the human being. So it is a mechusa b'levush sack deklipa b'peishi Yisrael. It is covered in a levush sack of the other side, in those who nebuch are rebellious or neglectful among Klal Yisrael. And he wants to understand further, umimena, it is from this temporary levush, from this temporary garb, nichnas bem ruach shtus, this is the source from which stems the temporary insanity, lachtoi to do averis, kemay mechazal, ein adam chay, tell them ken nichnas bem ruach shtus, a person would not do an aver unless they were overcome by temporary insanity. So this is the golus of the godliness in the person. Elo, shigolus hazeh, lebchinas chachma, this golus that has taken over the true chachma that exists in the neshama, einai ela lebchina hamispashetes mimena benefesh kula lachyosa. I want you to understand, he says, that this galus is not a wholesale galus. It's not a total and complete galus. It's only galus in application. It's only galus to the godliness, not in its essence, but in how it expresses itself. But you must believe, you must know, and this is so unbelievably chassidish, that the root, the source of chachma that's in this neshama of every Jew who b'mayichin, it is there. Ve'ena mislabeshes b'levushak diklipa shebelei b'chal asmali b'pchines galus mamish. It cannot be corrupted. It cannot be removed. It is alive and healthy and well in every moyach of every Jew. Rak shibibchines shina b'rishoyim. Eshloft. It's asleep. Ve'ena payeles pulosa bohem. Just like when a person's asleep, they could be Einstein, they could be the most brilliant, wise person in the world, and they're not going to be able to apply the rules of physics while they're asleep. So too, the neshama can't do its magic. What is its magic? Its desire to attach, to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the nature. That's what neshamas do. It can't do its nature when it's asleep. When is the neshama asleep? When the body is busy with its interests, the neshama is asleep. But it would be like pointing to Einstein in the middle of the night and saying that he's the Three Stooges. That's the equivalent to saying Chas V'Shalom that a Jew is any less when they're not righteous. Chas V'Shalom, he's saying no, the neshama is alive and well. It's just not doing its thing. It's asleep. It just can't do what it naturally needs to do as long as the machine that's occupying the neshama, meaning the body, that machine is doing its own interests in pursuing the appetites of this world. But when an opportunity presents itself, when the Jew comes to a challenge, bidvar emuna, a challenge specifically with regard to its basic emuna, its basic conviction, when we're dealing with in yon emuna that supersede logic, vinogada nefesh, and it goes all the way to the depth of the neshama, lebchinas chachma shabal, to the wisdom of the neshama, azayuni ura mishinah, so all of a sudden the giant is awakened from its slumber. It will be awakened from its sleep, upayeles pu'ulasa, and it will do its thing. What's its thing? Its thing is to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. B'kayach Hashem amalavishba, it will automatically do what it is naturally designed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do, which is to cleave to Hashem. Like the pasuk says, "Ve'yiketz ki yoshan Hashem lamid b'nisoyin be'emunas Hashem," it will get up in this challenge with the emun of Hashem. B'lishum mitamidas v'seichel musig la'in. You could start arguing with the person about how this doesn't make any sense, and if they go to their, if they just bow down to the idol, and then they'll be able to live afterwards. They'll be able to do all kinds of things. Nothing is going to make any sense because it is not now. The logic is not the determining factor. And it will be able to have, it has the ability to overcome the dark side and any desire of Tavis HaZeh, even with things that are permissible, or even, God forbid, forbidden things that he's become used to doing. And he'll have the ability to become disgusted with them. This person who just yesterday was a total avaryan, he was a total negator of every mitzvah, now he will have the ability to choose the Ribbono Shel Olam, to literally give his life al kedusha shmai. V'av ki aklip is gavru alav kol yomav. Even though his entire life he was in the hand of the other side, v'liyochel lehem, and he couldn't overcome them for one moment. Gemara Mechazal, like we quoted earlier, shadir shoyim hem b'shus libam. The wicked are in the domain, total domain of their evil inclination. Mikol makim, nonetheless, kishebali de nisayin. When a Jew comes to this ultimate test, bidvar emuna b'Hashem echad, when his emuna in one God is challenged. She is Saidosa Bahari Kodesh. Due to the fact that this touches the deepest place, it's it's established in the deepest kedusha, hibchinis chachma shebenefesh. This means that it's zeroing in on this very quality that we were discussing. Shebenefesh olikish sheba mula v'sharin tzayv baruch hu, wherein is contained this infinite energy of Hashem. As a result of the fact that you just pierced that place of this unbelievable infinite energy, all of a sudden, all the forces of darkness, everything has no standing at all. There's nothing there, lefnei Hashem. Like the pasuk says, all the nations are like nothing compared to Hashem. Everything else disappears in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're going to melt away in the face of the fire. So they have no standing. There's nothing for them to be able to exist once this place of holiness has been opened up. He continues on the next page. Vini Ur Hashem Ein Tzayv Baruch Hu. Hamaluv Ish Bechach Mashav Nefesh. I want you to understand that this energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is contained in this Chachma of the Jewish soul, Gadol V'atzam Koyche Kol Kach, I want you to realize how all-embracing and all-pervasive its power is. Ligarish v'lidchos hasitra acher v'aklipis. Its power is so strong to banish darkness. Shulayuchlu yagoyu afilu bilavushav. They not only will they not be able to get the person to really compromise his emunah, but they will not even allow him to express himself in an external way. They won't even allow the Jew to express himself in any one of the three garments of thought, speech, and deed. That means that the person will have the strength to withstand the test, to give his life, even if all it means is an external expression, neged emunas Hashem echad. Kigain, for instance, l'ishtach v'slavei d'zara, the classic traditional cases of Jews who were challenged to bow down to an idolatry. Avshein emamin baklal b'liba, even though there's no depth to it whatsoever. V'chein sh'lei l'davit toyechas v'shalom alachdus Hashem, it won't allow a Jew to even express himself negatively about the unity of Hashem. Avshem people even shavit, even though he's just saying it. No Jew will do that. Rak libe shalim emunas Hashem. Now he concludes, v'zen nikre dechilu. Now we understand what the fear or the awe is, hanichlo berechimu, which is contained in the way we are defining love. What is it? The rechim, or the love, is shi'ahava tivi yishev nefesh olikish, shebeklalas yisra. The love is the natural love that a Jewish soul has to want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shechef tzaviritzayin abitiva, that has a natural burning desire, lidavik b'shar shom mikayra, to connect to its source, which is Arin Tzayv Baruch Hu. So what's the fear? Shemit pnei ahavizu v'ratzen zeh. Due to the fact that the nisham of the Yid has this natural yearning, burning desire to reconnect to its source. As a result of this, the fear is that it trembles naturally to touch even the outer layers of the contamination of idolatry, which is the contrast to Hashem Echad, the Emunah of Hashem Echad, even if it's just in external, outward action, even if it doesn't touch the person's heart at all. So where does fear come into play? Fear comes into play that the person will not allow their yearning to be compromised even by a heartless external expression of anything which can touch the negation of Hashem Echad, which is the natural yearning of the neshama. Now, the piece of Peliyoyetz that I was discussing with you goes through what the conversation should be in a person's mind, what they're saying to themselves as they're contemplating why they should be satisfied staying in their body, even though the rotzen of the neshama is to cleave to Hashem Echad. So why should they be complacent? And the truth of the matter is that, as he discusses there, we don't need to be complacent, because the only time that a Jew can live peacefully is when, while they're contained in their body, they're allowing themselves to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam through Kiyum HaTorah V'Mitzvos. And quite the contrast, that while there's no question that the neshama wishes to expire in its love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the connection that can take place while the neshama is in a body is a far more powerful connection than any connection that the neshama can take place in its bittul to the Achdus of Hashem itself. And that's what Ramatla discusses there, that the consolation prize for a neshama that doesn't escape is the understanding that when a Jew is Isaac B'Torah or does a mitzvah, chesed, whatever it is that he's doing, to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that connection is a much deeper, more real connection than is the connection of the expiring neshama who wants to reconnect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. All right, Mirz Hashem, we will take it up from here.